This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Alex Chadwick. During the invasion of Iraq, journalist Evan Wright was embedded with the Marines' 1st Reconnaissance Battalion. It was nicknamed the 1st Suicide Battalion.
Evan wrote about his experience in Rolling Stone magazine and in a book called Generation Kill. And he talked about them in an interview here on Day to Day with Madeline Brand. Since then, Generation Kill has become an HBO miniseries that Wright co-wrote with David Simon and Ed Burns from The Wire. To mark the 5th anniversary of the war, Madeline spoke with Evan Wright again.
Evan Wright, welcome back to Day to Day.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you again after, what, 4 years?
Yes.
So for people who haven't read your book and who don't remember back 4 years ago to our interview.
Yes.
Although it can be podcast. Tell us broadly what the miniseries will cover from your book.
My book was about, and the miniseries is faithfully about, a Marine reconnaissance unit, the 1st Reconnaissance Battalion, which spearheaded a segment of the invasion starting at the Kuwait border all the way to Baghdad and north of Baghdad into what's now called the Sunni Triangle. But it's really about the family life of a platoon of 23 Marines and their commanding officer.
And one of those family members is here now. Hi,
yes.
Rudy. It's Lieutenant Rudy Reyes, and he's a character in your book, one of the Marines in your book.
He's a Sergeant Rudy Reyes.
Sergeant
Lieutenant
Rudy Reyes.
Lieutenant would be a promotion or a demotion, depending on how
you
look at the
culture. In our culture, kind of, I'd have to lose a third of my brain if I wanted to be a lieutenant.
So Sergeant Rudy Reyes.
Sergeant Rudy Reyes.
Sergeant Rudy Reyes, welcome to the program. Evan, describe how you describe Rudy in your book.
Well, Rudy was the most macho and toughest Marine and seemingly the gayest Marine. That's how the other Marines described him. And they also warned me, just because you think Rudy's hot doesn't mean you're gay, because he was so beautiful.
Rudy, you're not just a pretty face. You actually, as Evan describes you in the book, you are the toughest Marine in the company that he profiles. And after you were part of the tip of the spear for the initial invasion of Iraq, you actually went back to Fallujah. Tell us about that. What did you do there?
Well, we did a whole host of reconnaissance and surveillance. Us Latin guys, we would dress as Pakistanis or as contractors, and we grew long hair, and I had a beard, and it took me a long time to grow a beard. I had to just start with the goatee because I'm kind of a hairless Mexican, you know. And we're able to hide our weapons underneath our robes, and we would allow ourselves to be bait, to be interdicted by the enemy.
Believing that they were third world contractors from
Pakistan.
I see. That's exactly right. We would be interdicted. We would turn the tables in the matter of milliseconds, shoot and engage and kill in the street without any collateral damage or casualties, civilian casualties, so very effective. We were able to do amazing things.
I mean, did you ever feel, your book is so dramatic, it's such a page-turner, and just from what Rudy has been saying, it seems that you couldn't improve upon the reality in terms of a good story. But did you ever feel pressure at all to make it more dramatic?
They don't dramatize nothing. There's nothing more dramatic going on than a unit of recon Marines with no close air support or armor running and gunning into insurgents that are holed up in towns and fighting to the death. I mean, there's nothing. You don't got to dramatize that anymore.
I was wondering about that, if it brought back anything unpleasant memories,
yes,
or feelings as you were shooting it.
Especially when we had a whole week of shooting the scenes, Evan, with the kids that Tromley shot up and the mother. It got me very upset, got me very mad, angry first, because I was thinking, you know, this son of a bitch actor. First of all, I found myself getting mad at the damn actor. You know what I mean?
And just tell us what happened. What was the incident
you're
referring
to? We hadn't slept in 2 weeks, first of all. Let me preface it with that. And we were pushing on this airfield where, according to our intel, we had armor on there. And we were cleared hot to engage everybody and everything.
In a sense, the commander of the unit, he declared every Iraqi en route to the airfield hostile.
That's it.
Which meant they should be engaged, i.e. shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and this young guy in the unit.
He sat next to me, the shooter.
Yeah, he was right here. I mean, Evan was right there when all this was going down. And these shepherds come running out, whether to warn us or to say hello to us. I hear somebody engaging up front, and I see the report and the smoke coming from Colbert's window. And then I see these guys go down, civilians. We knew they were civilians. But again, remember that we're all smoked. We're all tired.
These are children.
It was two boys that were shot. One was 17. One was about 14. They weren't dead when we saw them, but the younger boy had 4 rounds in his chest cavity. But the irony of the whole incident, and we've tried to capture these sorts of ironies in the miniseries, is I actually felt much more comfortable sitting next to Lance Corporal Trombley after the shooting, because I noted that he fired 7 rounds in a moving Humvee at 150 to 200 meters and took down 2 people. And I always thought we were often getting shot at. Yeah. This is a great guy to be sitting next to. He doesn't hesitate to shoot, and he'll ensure that I probably don't get shot. And that's sort of how things work.
And so an actor portrays him.
Yes.
Billy Lush.
I found myself freaking hating that guy, man.
Rudy, you're no longer in the Marines.
No, no. I sure miss it, though. I sure miss my beloved reconnaissance community.
Why did you leave?
I have fought 3 times, and I started hating the fact that we were not helping anybody over there. That angered me, because I wanted to help people there. I wanted to fight people and engage and kill people who are oppressing others, right? It's quite sobering when you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, well, I guess that's some... I'm kind of that person, too.
You mean you're one of the oppressors?
Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes these people would help us. A specific family helped me the whole time I was there doing sniper missions on their water tower. Mujahideen finally found out towards the end, blew up their water tower, destroyed their house, killed some of their livestock, and then they were going to be next. I go in there the next day to help them, and they still have an IED in their house that hasn't gone off yet. And I send word back to hire, and they just told me RTB, return to base. And I expressed to them what the hell is going on. These people have stuck their neck out from me and my team over and over again for 6 or 7 months. And they're like, it's not our problem. We're turning over. RTB. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing here?
Let me just follow on that very quickly. I was in Afghanistan in 2002. The troops, it was a natural... We're here because we're fighting the Taliban. They harbored the guys that flew the planes into the towers, and people didn't have to debate why they were in Afghanistan. In Iraq, during OIF-1, the invasion, we were going there, everyone believed, because Saddam possessed the weapons of mass destruction. Now, it's kind of funny because there was this tremendous fear. I think it's the one thing everybody was afraid of. What's going to happen when we're gassed? The last thing on this is going back there this summer. It's now evolved to where half the people are saying, we're here fighting al-Qaeda. Are we really? When I talked to General Petraeus, he said, that's sort of a poor choice of words to say we're directly fighting terrorists here so they don't fight us in America. It's very tough when you go to a memorial of a trooper who, what does his commanding officer say he died for?
I remember me and Evan got in this huge fight when I came back, because I was still psycho, and Evan and I got into it, man. I was almost going to kick Evan's ass, you know what I mean? I mean, I was fired up. I was like, everybody should go out and fight. Everybody. We should fight to win. Well, I realized we're not really – I don't know what we're doing there. I don't know if it's – I don't know what we're doing. All I know is we're going to be there for at least 20 years.
Well, Rudy Reyes and Evan Wright, thank you very much for coming in and speaking with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.